Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So welcome Chris G., a compulsive overeater from, looks like, California and Alabama.
My name is Chris G. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I currently live in Fairhope, Alabama. I've been living here for 4 months or maybe 5 months. Anyway, not long. But I'm from Los Angeles, actually. That's where I was born and raised and went to college and got married and had babies and the whole bit. And then we had this opportunity to come to Alabama. So now I'm here in Alabama, but I'm totally having an identity crisis because I don't feel like I'm from Alabama, but I have to say I am, because that's where I live. So anyway, I'm so grateful to be here. First of all, you know, I want to thank Pat for being on the ball, actually. She called me when this meeting was time to start, and I had dinner with my family, and one of my daughters had brought a friend over, and I got all distracted in that, and I didn't get on this meeting on time, and I'm so grateful for Pat for calling me and reminding me that I was of service. I've had several service commitments in the last couple of weeks, and so I think I just got my wires crossed, and I didn't realize I was speaking tonight, but I'm so glad I am, and I'm here, and I'm present for you guys, and I hope it's something that I say today will be helpful for you guys. Let's see, is it a 30-minute share? Okay. So I'm going to start off with what it was like and what happened and what I currently do to recover. Just to qualify, my top weight is 243 pounds. My lowest weight is 150 pounds. I'm almost 6 feet tall. So those are opposite sides of the spectrum for me. So I'm currently maintaining 160 pounds, which is a healthy body weight for me at almost 6 feet tall. And I have been at this weight for over a year, and I have not had to shop for new jeans in an entire year. And I don't know about you guys, but I could never stay in a pair of jeans more than like a week or two, right? I would always be like 14, 16, 18, 10, you know, 11, 12, 15, 18, 10. I mean, I had so many pairs of jeans in my closet because I was always hoping like, oh, one day I'm going to get back into those, you know, size 10 jeans. And of course, I would never let go of the 18s either because I'm like, well, shoot, what if one day I'm, you know, huge again, I'm going to need those. I mean, it was ridiculous. That's definitely unmanageable. That's an unmanageable closet. But you know what? I'm grateful today that I live in a state that is not a hopeless state of mind and body today. And I think that that's what it is to be recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I don't worry about my body size anymore. It doesn't change anymore. Because I actually today follow a food plan, and it's not me doing it. I have to say it comes from a surrendered place of knowing that I can't on my own do any of that. So what it was like for me growing up was I had kind of tumultuous household with an alcoholic father and a mother who was definitely using food to fix her problem. And my brother was quite abusive physically, emotionally, verbally, all of that. So, I mean, food was the best solution I had when I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. It really was the only solution I had. I wasn't really taught how to successfully deal with my life, my emotions. And so I used food to soothe myself. We weren't spiritual people at all. And so I didn't have any kind of like spiritual life or church or anything like that. So it was just me and the chocolate or me and the bagels or whatever it is. And I kind of survived my childhood that way. I was also obsessed with, being perfect. I needed to get my mom was a teacher, so I needed to get really good grades. Also, I knew that if I was perfect, then they wouldn't have anything to like get mad at me for, right? Because since my father was an alcoholic, I think I just wanted everybody to think I was okay. I would show the world that I was fine, but I was really covering up the truth. I was not fine. My family was not fine, but I was really good at putting a mask on and letting the outside world know that no, I'm okay. I had a 4.0 in high school. I'm a total overachiever, perfectionist. I mean, I was killing myself to be that. And it was very insane. I would diet down to like an anorexic kind of a weight, and then I would binge back up. I was always going up and down, up and down. And by the time I was in high school, I had starved my way down to like 150 pounds. And I do have pictures that I could share if you guys want me to do that. Just let me know if I have screen sharing capabilities, and I'll do that otherwise.
You're welcome to. You have the capability.
Okay, so I'm gonna try to go ahead and find that for you guys as I'm talking. So when I was in high school, I was really wanting to just be thin and feeling like, other people would love me if I just, was thin. And I just hold on, let me find these photos. Hold on. I didn't have this up. Let me see. Okay. Sorry about this, guys. I don't have my photos very organized here. I'm not a very techie kind of person, so I'm looking for my albums. Oh, here we go. OA. Let's see, recovery photos. Here we go. Okay. Let's see. Are you able to see that? Do I have you
No,
on
not yet.
screen? No, yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to go to screen share. Okay, share screen. Okay. Okay. All right. So maybe you guys can see some of this here.
Yeah, so now we can see screen broadcast. There.
Okay, great. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah, I did it. So, I am not a technical person. Thank you for being patient with me on that. That is not my strong point. I'm actually an artist. I'm a painter. But I can navigate Zoom just a little bit. So here's my pictures. So when I was a little kid, I was obsessed with the sugar, and you can see me when I was 7 years old. Man, I remember that cake. I was definitely a sugar addict way even back then. I remembered waking my mom up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make food for me, literally waking her up out of a dead sleep. So I had alcoholic tendencies towards food at a very early age. When I was in high school in 1991, I dieted my way down to 150, 155 pounds in that picture. And I'm standing next to my father, who's 6'5". And I was thin, but I was a maniac, crazy, crazy in my head. And then it wasn't soon after that, when I hit college, I was basically doing things like I would go up to the dorms and I would eat dinner with some friends, and I would come back down, and then another group of friends would come home from their classes, and they're like, "Hey, we're going to dinner. You want to come?" And I'm like, "Sure." And I would just like not tell anybody that I already had dinner, and I would go eat another dinner. I probably gained 30 pounds in that first year in college, and there's me in 1993 puffed up again. I was wearing huge oversized shirts to hide my body. And in 1995, right there's a picture of me totally hungover with the food right there. Couldn't even open my eyes. The sun was so bright from that binge. The previous morning was so bad. So I got into OA in 2006, and in 2006 I realized that I was finally powerless over the food. What that meant was that I knew that if I didn't get help, this disease was going to take me out. I could see the writing on the wall. I could see myself at like 400 pounds. And I'm like, you know what? I need help. So I went to an OA meeting. I got a sponsor and I started working the steps. I had a very loose food plan of 3 meals a day and two snacks back then. I was never willing to weigh and measure when I first came in because I just thought everybody was crazy who did that. And I didn't want to do that. And so I didn't. And I worked the steps with a sponsor and I actually got some recovery and I did have some weight loss. And that picture in 2011 on the lower left is in 2011. I was 5 years in recovery. I wouldn't say I was recovered because I think I was still suffering from a hopeless state of mind and body. I was still trying to control and manage the food somewhat back then. And when my life got big and I got married and we bought a house away from my home group, I was not staying close to program. And you know how we have a mental obsession and an allergy of the body, right? So the allergy of the body is that once I start, I can't stop. I knew that there were certain foods that once I started, I couldn't stop. Those foods were basically like the desserts. And I had let go of desserts during that time when I was first working the steps. I knew at least that was alcoholic for me. I didn't get the whole picture, but I could only see what I could see back then. And I thought it would be a good idea. Remember, we have no mental defense against this disease, right? We only have a spiritual defense. So my thinking was like, hey, if I'm going to have this wedding, I want to make sure I know what the cake tastes like at my wedding. Because I should know that everyone's going to be experiencing this, right? Well, in the light of who I was as a compulsive overeater, that thought is absolutely insane. That would be like an alcoholic after being 5 years sober saying, you know, I should probably taste the vodka that's going to be served at the wedding. And it's like, no, that substance will take me out. So I was not connected to my sponsor as much. I wasn't really working the steps like I was. I wasn't going to the meetings regularly. I had basically started resting on my laurels, and I decided I was going to taste the cake, and I did. And that started the beginning of a 12-year relapse for me. So from 2011 to 2023, I was back in the food. You can see in 2015, I had a baby and I had another one coming, and I was not spiritually fit. I was holding on by a string. I never left program, but I was not actively working the program. This program only works if you work it, which means you're actually living the design for living. So in 2022, I had gotten back up to well over 215 pounds, I think, in that picture right there in the garden during COVID. And I was miserable. I was back trying to be perfect. I was back trying to be the best. I was PTO president in that picture. I was in charge of the gardens and the art club and all this stuff. I was trying to be the best and have everybody think everything was okay. And again, once again, things were not okay with me. I was eating as the solution to my life. Food is not the solution. And it didn't matter. That 5 years of recovery, oh my gosh, it was so wonderful. Like when I got married, it was wonderful. But you know what? When the food is down and I'm actively living a spiritual life, it is. But when I'm in the food and I am miserable and triggering the allergy and I can't stop, and once I start, I can't stop, I'm powerless, I'm miserable, life is unmanageable. So in 2023, I was out of ideas. I was even trying to sponsor people and I wasn't even abstinent. It was really ridiculous. And I was like, you know, I saw some people on Zoom online that I knew, and they were recovered and they were happy and they had a solution. And I knew that it existed, but for some reason, I was off, so off track, I just didn't know how to get back. So I started coming to some Zoom meetings where there were a lot of recovered compulsive overeaters, and I listened to what they said. And one of them said, "If you can't remember your last binge, you probably haven't had it yet." And just that night before, it was vivid what my last binge was. It was a week before Christmas. You can imagine what my house was doing. I had Christmas cookies galore going off. I had all kinds of crap in my house, and I had a horrible binge. And I thought to myself, "God, could you please just make that my last binge? Because I'm done." And I was really, really tired. It was really hard being in the food, and I just wanted some freedom. And I was finally willing to go to any length because I was finally on meetings where I wanted what these people had. I wanted to be recovered. I wanted to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I wanted to be out of this hopeless state of mind and body. So I started working with a sponsor who said she was a recovered compulsive overeater. She was at goal weight. She was happy, joyous, and free. She was working steps. And I just said, "Can you sponsor me?" And she said she would. And she gave me five requirements if I was going to work with her. And I just said, "What are they?" "I'll do anything." And that's where I needed to be in order for this program to work. She required me to be on a weighed and measured food plan. Well, I was never willing to do that for 17 years. I was never willing to be on a weighed and measured food plan. I thought that was crazy. But I was so desperate at this point, and my disease had progressed. This is 17 years in. I needed more drastic measures here than I did in the beginning. And so I needed to get a food plan from a nutritionist, one that did not come from my own head and one that I was not hungry on. So this was not a diet. This was just a healthy way to eat that I needed to be on. And I had never really done that because my best thinking was to like not have breakfast, eat a granola bar at dinner and binge all night. Like that was my best thinking. And that's not sane. That's not nourishing. So I got a nutritionist. She gave me a food plan, a really healthy, nutritious food plan that I was eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I was finally nutritionally satisfied. And I started feeling really good inside. She also told me that I needed to pray and meditate for 30 minutes every morning. And I needed to make three outreach calls a day. I needed to get to two to three meetings a week, and I needed to do at least one act of self-sacrifice during the day, something that would inconvenience me, that was basically the antidote to my selfishness. And so I just said yes, and I didn't know how the hell I was going to do that, but I realized, I don't have a choice. I'm either going to die in this disease or I'm going to accept spiritual help. So that was right around when I was turning 50. And there's me in the lower right-hand corner with my daughter. This is about what I look like right now. And I can pretty much do anything in my body today. I can ski, I can run upstairs. I couldn't do that. I could not do that when I was in the food. I had knee problems, hip problems, back problems. It was really kind of horrible. So, I'm going to stop screen sharing here and get back onto the thing there. Okay. Thank you guys for bearing with me with that. But I hope that gave you guys an idea of like me and what I was like. So in the process of working the steps with my sponsor, I got to see how important it is to have a connection with a higher power that you believe will restore you to sanity. I need to reevaluate my conception of a higher power. And what I came to the realization that what I really needed was a higher power who cared about me, that was strong, stronger than the disease, that was intelligent, right? And that cared that I recovered. And what was amazing was when I started with this sponsor and I had like a few days where I was following my food plan, it occurred to me, how is this possible? How am I even following this food plan? Because I don't have the power to follow a food plan. And what I realized was that I was surrendered and I was being helped. I didn't say I was abstinent. I would say something more like, I'm being graced with it today. I'm in a state of grace. That's what it feels like to not be in the food. It's like I'm in a state of grace. Because at this point, I wasn't white knuckling it. I was surrendered. I was like very aware that there were lots of foods that I couldn't have on my plan because I couldn't safely eat them. And I was willing to let those completely go. That was a lot of freedom to not constantly trigger my allergy of the body. But we have more than just the allergy of the body. We have an obsession of the mind, right? Our brain tells us lies about what we can and cannot do. So I needed to have a bridge to my higher power in those moments because the bridge to my conscious mind, it didn't connect. Like, oh, my brain would say, oh, you could just have another serving of that. Oh, that's healthy. It's like, no, I am not interested in overeating today. That's why I have a weight and measure plan because I could very easily overeat abstinent food, right? I'm a compulsive overeater. I could overeat anything. But I recognized what my allergies were. And I also recognized that in the past, I had done lots of restricting and grazing and padding and binging. So, in order to be free of all of those compulsive food behaviors, having the structure of a food plan is like the best tool. See, the food plan is not abstinence. A food plan is just a tool. It's a tool that we use to properly nourish ourselves. And for me, being on a food plan is God's will for me because I know that overeating and undereating, restricting, grazing, padding, binging, all of that's the disease. So I know that when I'm in alignment with my plan and I'm eating in a healthy, nourishing way, I'm in alignment with God. God helps me do that. So today, what my life looks like is I still pray and meditate 30 minutes every morning. That works. Because it's a spiritual solution, the most important relationship in my life is the one with my higher power, whom I call Source, capital S, Source. That works for me. I love spending time with my higher power in the morning because it sets my day. I usually do my 10-step review at night. The 10th step is also an amazing tool in my recovery. It's been a game changer for me because I look at every day what I'm grateful for, but I also look at, was I resentful toward anyone? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I afraid? Do I owe anybody an apology? I ask myself, is there anything that I've kept that needs to be discussed with somebody? I look at where was I of service to the world, to my family, to others, to program, and to myself. And then I look at, okay, based on all of this, what are the corrective measures going on? God, and then I do a prayer, a really specific prayer, like, God, please help me be more patient with my kids. Please help me accept my husband exactly as he is, right? So a lot of times I'm asking for patience, tolerance, and love, and how to be helpful to the people in my life. I'm asking that a lot. And then I look at my plans for the day. This is all directed to us in the big book, actually, in steps 10. This is all in there. This is our direction. But this is a daily spiritual solution. It's daily because we can't stay clean on yesterday's shower, right? Being abstinent today means that I'm connected to God today. And I don't want any resentments, fear, dishonesty, or selfishness to block me from my higher power. Those are the things that block us. So we have to be aware when those things crop up and be free by looking at it honestly and then asking God, please remove my fear and direct me to what you would have me be. God, please replace my resentment with compassion. Let me see how others are spiritually sick too, just like me. So these transformations are happening daily, and I catch them at night. I'm actually on a 10-step train. What that is it's a group of people who are connected in a way where you get paired with someone for 2 weeks. And every day you do your 10th step at night, and then the next day you call and you read it out loud to another fellow. And then every 2 weeks we change partners. And I've been doing that for about a year now, and it's amazing. Oh my gosh, the stuff that I get to hear and the stuff that I get to say out loud. Oh, it's so beautiful. It just plunks me right down in the center of God because I get to be honest about the truth about me and all my shortcomings, even like being late to this meeting and forgetting that I had even been a speaker at this meeting. I feel so embarrassed, but you know what? I'm a human being and we all make mistakes like that. And you know what's huge about this is that I'm not sitting over here beating myself up because I think humility is full of grace. And to admit that you're a human being and you make mistakes, and it's like, you better believe I'm not going to be late to my next speaking engagement because I don't want to feel like that again, right? But it's beautiful to just be real, right? To just be who we are. And I think that recovery, the gift, one of the biggest gifts of recovery for me is that I'm no longer wasting a ton of energy trying to be perfect for all of you. I'm not trying to show up. Like I can't usually if I came on a meeting, I'd like put lipstick on and make sure my hair was all done. I'm like, no, I'm like already late to this meeting. I'm just gonna show up and this you see what you see is what you get, you know? And that's beautiful to just show up and just be real. And a lot of times I have a day where I feel like I'm falling apart. Complete like I'm all messed up. I got resentments going on. I've got fear of financial insecurity still, that still hasn't been completely removed. It's getting better as I pay attention more to my finances, but it still kicks my ass. I still go, and say, okay, I'm only going to spend $100 at Walmart and I'll spend 150, that kind of shit. It's like I kind of need some accountability with my finances. And I know the accountability with my food really helped bring my food into alignment. So I'm thinking maybe I need accountability with what I spend too, because I can compulsively overdo anything. Honestly, I could compulsively garden. I could compulsively, clean my bathroom. I could compulsively do anything. And I think what's beautiful about recovery is that we start seeing where we have compulsive behaviors in our life. I'm just so grateful that I don't compulsively overeat anymore, but I can still see ways that I'm kind of still obsessive compulsive. And I embrace my humanness and I just take it to God like I do anything else. If I notice that I'm a little out of balance with something, I'll be like, God, please help me strike a balance with this. Help me show up to be who you need me to be in this world. And what also my life looks like today is I help a lot of people. So I do a lot of work with my sponsees. I usually have at least five sponsees going, sometimes more, sometimes less. But right now I'm focusing on local sponsees. So I've got three local gals that I'm working with that are live within an hour of me because I'm trying to build a local fellowship here in Alabama because there is no OA recovery here. There's no OA recovery here, guys. And I was like, why did my higher power plunk me down in Alabama? It's because I feel like if there are overeaters suffering around me, I want to be able to help them. So that's what I'm focusing on now, is carrying the message to the still suffering compulsive overeater who's right around me. And so I'm actively building a local fellowship. I still am on a weighted measured food plan. I love it. It's keeping me at this weight, which is very healthy. I'm happy. I pray and meditate every day. I still commit my food to my sponsor. That's a really important thing that helped me in my early recovery this time around, and I still do it. It's very peaceful. I carry the message. I try to be of service on Zoom, these meetings, and in person. I practice these principles on all my affairs. So the honesty, at work, with my family, the humility, especially with my girls. I have two girls, 12 and 9, and I make mistakes left and right, and I'll be the first one to tell them, "Hey, mommy is having a really hard day. I am so sorry I yelled at you. It's not about you. So that's what I do today to recover, and I'm so glad I could be on this meeting today. I can't believe that went by so fast, but I hope that something that I said or something that you saw or heard was helpful for you tonight. And please take down my number. It's Central Time, 310-874-5747, Central Time, Alabama time. So thanks for letting me share, and thank you, Pat, for asking me to speak today.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your share. That was so engaging. Thank you.